Word of mouth.
Martin of New Bet I'm coming back.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. The Vietnam War was the first televised American conflict, the first time ever live action of helicopters, troops on patrol, and body bags being shipped home were beamed into America's living rooms. TV has been blamed for turning the public against the war, notably CBS News anchor Walter Cronkite's three-minute rap on February 27, 1968, nearly a month after the Tet Offensive.
For it seems now more certain than ever that the bloody experience of Vietnam is to end in a stalemate. To say that we are closer to victory today is to believe, in the face of the evidence, the optimists who have been wrong in the past. To say that we are...
President Lyndon Johnson is said to have responded to that broadcast by saying, "If I've lost Cronkite, I've lost Middle America." America's ambivalence about the Vietnam conflict began years earlier with a photograph of a monk engulfed in flames, sinking to the pavement on a Saigon street. Another image captured the moment a uniformed officer fired a bullet into the head of a man in a plaid shirt. And still later, a naked girl screaming as she runs from a cloud of black smoke. These indelible images immersed viewers in the experience of soldiers and civilians thousands of miles away and are among the iconic images collected in Visual Dispatches from the Vietnam War on view at the Courier Museum of Art until November 11th. The show's curator, Kurt Sundstrom, joined us recently to talk about the groundbreaking images.
This is really a seminal moment in the history of war photography, Vietnam, because before that, cameras were very large. Technology wasn't well advanced. Oftentimes, shutter speeds and so on were cumbersome. So a lot of times, war photographs were taking place after the war, stationary figures and so on. This was really the first time in the history of war photography where the photographers got very close. They were actually right next to the troops, and they were able to take fast-action images and really depict war and the horrors of war and the realities of war for the very first time for civilians and non-combatants to see.
In fact, we have a clip of German combat photographer Horst Voss. He's speaking here to Terry Gross. This is in 1997, and he was one of the first to use a Leica camera in battle, which was a really significant departure. First, tell us why.
It was the Leica camera was quite small, and they could carry multiple cameras, actually, into battle. They could have different lenses on it and so on. And the Leica had a very quick shutter speed, and they could take pictures very quickly and move around very quickly, and it was not cumbersome like in previous wars.
Let's hear from Horst Voss. This is speaking to Terry Gross in 1997.
Leica camera at the time appeared to me a camera that made it possible that you were at all times aware of things happening around you. The other wonderful thing with the Leica was that you could actually take it apart like a rifle, clean it out, dry it out, put it together again with a set of little screwdrivers, and it would work again. Something that is impossible with today's electronic chip cameras.
The German combat photographer Horst Voss, one of the photographers well represented in the Visual Dispatches from the Vietnam War show at the Courier Museum of Art. Talk a little bit about the images that Horst Voss was able to make with the Leica camera.
Well, I think Horst Voss and all the photographers that worked in Vietnam at the time stuck by this this saying that was actually established by Kappa in World War II, that if your photographs aren't good enough, it's because you're not close enough. Mm. And what Horst Voss and Larry Burroughs and Don McCollum and all these guys did was that they were right on top of the action. They were there. Many of them were killed. Many of them were wounded. And what they were able to do was use the camera in a way to break down the barriers of geographic space and time and actually make the viewers feel like they're participating in the action.
Well, I'm thinking of some of those grand landscapes of, you know, the Napoleonic Wars painted.
Yeah.
But those were available only for people who were going to museums. These were coming into your mailbox and via Life magazine or Time magazine.
Yeah, there's a lot of firsts about Vietnam in relation to photography. And the other first was not only was the technology of the camera so well advanced, but also there was technology in which to transmit the images. So a photograph that was taken on the streets of Saigon could end up in a newspaper in less than 24 hours. I mean, today we can, you know, with email and multimedia, this is, you know, commonplace. But back then it was unheard of. And the immediacy with which these photographs were transmitted and then viewed, and they arrived on people's doorsteps in Life magazine, Look, in their newspapers, it was shocking to the public.
Well, the other thing about photographs is that you become aware as a viewer that somebody is taking that photograph. I mean, yes, there is this immediacy. There's this directness. But I'm interested in talking about Eddie Adams. He was a veteran photographer of 13 wars. He was forever haunted by this photograph that he had taken on February 1st, 1968. This was a very famous execution on the streets of Saigon. A man in a plaid shirt being shot. We have the moment of impact. Here is Eddie Adams remembering taking that photograph years later.
General Luan, well, he was like a colonel, and the whole thing is the picture destroyed his life. And that's what bothers me more than anything else. In fact, not long after, he got wounded very badly in the leg. I went to visit him in the hospital in Saigon. And he was later sent to the States because of his wounds. He never blamed me for the picture. He used the cliche that we hear all the time. He said, Eddie, says, you were doing your job and I was doing mine.
Eddie Adams later said that, you know, he took that photograph and he went to lunch. And he said, I know that sounds terrible, but by that time I'd seen so many people die. What did that photograph do to him and to our image of the Vietnam War?
When we were putting this exhibition together, everyone that I told we were doing this show asked if that photograph was going to be in. That photograph has become the iconic image, that and the Napalm Girl, have become the iconic images that define the war. And when we were organizing it, we went and put together a group of veterans. We really wanted to be sensitive. This is their war. We wanted to present it in a sensitive way and not to have it, you know, depicted negatively as they were received when they came back home. And this was the image that was really a great concern for them. And the reason is when the image went out, the backstory to it did not go out. And still today, people do not understand what happened. That kid that was being assassinated was actually a well-known assassin working in South Vietnam.
He was Viet Cong.
Yeah. Tet started the day before, which is the major Tet Offensive. And this kid went and started killing innocent civilians. And this is the way they took care of that. And the shot, many people would attribute it to American, or this was an American directive, but it was not. And many American soldiers carried the brunt of that image, as well as General Luan, throughout the rest of their lives, about this is so inhumane, this is so illegal what they're doing, these are atrocities of war. But what they don't realize is that this happened in all wars. This happened in World War II. This happened in wars going back to the Napoleonic and then to the Pharaohs. But you just never saw it before.
Well, another one of those indelible images is of the Napalm Girl. This was taken by the photographer who came to be known as Nick Oot.
Right.
Another thing that people don't know, he snapped that picture and wrapped the girl in a blanket and took her and several of those other children to a hospital. Talk to us a little bit about the role of the photographer. You know, there's often a question about how can you be so inhumane as to witness this thing long enough to take a photograph and not do anything about it?
Yeah, that is a myth, I think, among photographers. We have images of photographers helping wounded, holding IV bottles and shepherding people onto helicopters and so on. So that myth about the inhumanity of the photographers is not necessarily true. The one thing about the Nick Oot image is, again, it was interpreted incorrectly. The napalm was dropped by a South Vietnamese pilot accidentally on that village. So this is an accident of war. This is one of those casualties of war that are typical, again, of all wars where these mistakes happen. And Nick Oot didn't even bring the film to his editors. He drove her immediately to the hospital, and she survived because of the photographer. They remain friends today. She lives in Canada and has a family, and they talk almost weekly. And those relationships sometimes do develop when you're under these extreme conditions.
We're speaking with Kurt Sundstrom. He is the curator of the exhibition Visual Dispatches from the Vietnam War. That's at the Courier Museum of Art until November 11th, of course, Veterans Day.
Right.
Well, Kurt, you know, we're talking about some very famous, you know, these indelible images that have helped shape our national narrative of Vietnam. We've got a few great films about Vietnam, some absolutely terrific books. Were you trying to expand our vision of what the Vietnam War was?
Well, I think it's numerous. I mean, there's an art historical side, there's a historical side. But the one thing that I found when we were researching this is that this new generation of kids, many of them don't even know where Vietnam is. And that today, even though, like my son who's 10 years old, and he's only known war in Afghanistan and Iraq, but he doesn't know what's going on in Afghanistan and Iraq because we're very isolated from what's going on in the world now. Another thing is I think veterans are not well understood what they've gone through. I've spoken to many in this process. Many of them express a frustration where people always come up to them and say, "You're a hero, thanks for your service." What they don't make an effort to do is to understand exactly what they went through. There is no empathy when we talk to veterans. We don't stop and listen to their stories. But I think this exhibition will create a dialogue and bridge that gap of understanding that we have now between people that served and people that did not serve.
Well, you're talking about some deep, deep scars and deep, deep wounds.
Yeah.
But these photographs also, I think, make us a kind of direct witness to this extreme human suffering that you're describing that soldiers witnessed.
It does.
You know, we've got sheer terror on the faces of civilians and soldiers, and we get dead bodies. Now, this is all pulled together in an art museum show. And I'm wondering for you, Kurt, you know, at what point did these images of horror become things of beauty?
That's an interesting question because the photographers talk about this. Oftentimes they'll say that they'll use black and white in order to not depict the horror in such a manner that the viewer will be repelled by it. The really great photographers are able to ride that razor's edge between beauty and horror, where you're not repelled, you're forced to look at it, you're forced to study it, and you're forced to contemplate the circumstances under which these occurrences happened. And it's interesting because in talking to vets, too, they'll talk about how beautiful Vietnam was, just absolutely gorgeous. And there's some pictures, there's one in particular by Larry Burroughs, that just shows the true beauty of the landscape. But then when you start looking in more detail, into more focus, you realize that this horrific battle of Khe Sanh is going on. And this is a battle in which the American troops were pummeled for 77 days straight.
The power of the image is something they were definitely going for and aware of.
Yes.
You know, there have been accusations throughout war photography. I'm thinking of the image by Robert Capa of the fallen soldier. You know, this is during the Spanish Civil War.
That's
the
right.
Moment of impact is arms flinging back. There are charges that this was not staged, but it was taken in a different place of a different person, but used for purposes of war propaganda.
Yes.
Now, images have a way of swaying our minds in a way that reading a narrative or hearing a news report may not.
Now, that's true as well. We talked about Eddie Adams' Saigon execution and the Napalm Girl. Both of those events were filmed. And you can see those films, those events on YouTube today. But it is the still image that is burned into our head. And this was the first time in war photography that the image usurped the word. Because they could sit in a bar in Saigon, listen to different war stories, put it together, and write an article. Photographer, you can't hide behind anything. You're either there or you weren't.
Kurt Sundstrom, he's curator of the Visual Dispatches from the Vietnam War exhibition, currently at the Currier Museum of Art, and it's there until November 11th. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
There is also a series of related events and talks around the exhibition. We do have information about those, as well as a link to see some of the pictures at wordofmouthradio.org.
Sleeping in these foxholes, hungry and cold, I had a dream last night.
There's more word of mouth coming right after the break. Please stay with us.